Hello, and thank you for joining us for InterScares Spook School. Thank you for joining. In today's episode, we have an excellent friend of our channel, Mr. Phoenix Fire Narrations. I hope you enjoy this interview. I am InterScare.
And I am InterScare Wifey.
And welcome to InterScares Spook School. Sit back, relax, and learn how to join the horror community by creating. Hello, Phoenix. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you both?
Absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
I am doing good as well. Thank you so much for joining us today, man.
Not a problem. I'm excited.
So, just to get started, you are a narrator on YouTube and you started with horror narrations, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Is horror narrations your first escapade into the YouTube sphere in general, or have you had other channels in the past that you didn't really like keep or whatever?
So I'll give a little history about myself. When I first got started with just narrations in general, I never thought in a million years to do YouTube. I was always fascinated with it, but I've always been told that I have a voice for radio, maybe TV commercials. So I thought, let me try the voiceover world. Well, I didn't have a teacher or anything of the sort. So I got online one day, looked up how to get started, went out and bought, let's just say, the beginner's equipment. And I started sending in auditions for different voiceover websites and kept getting denied. Finally, someone, I think it was a good friend of mine at the time, said, yo, you've got a really good voice to tell scary stories. Why don't you try YouTube? I was like, yeah, I'll try that. So I Googled it and figured out how to start recording and uploading to YouTube. And ever since then, as I said, I'm self-taught and started recording horror stories and uploading to YouTube. And over the first couple of months, it was aggravating, but then it became an obsession. And now I can't stop.
So what's interesting to me is that you say that you are self-taught. And what we're trying to do with this podcast is help people who want to create things in the horror community, help them get into the horror community and teach them how to create things. So when you say you're self-taught, what did you do to teach yourself? What did you do to learn? All that good stuff.
So when I say self-taught, going into the YouTube world, it's so broad. I looked up everything that I could on how to become a narrator. And at that time, I could not find anything. I found things on voiceover, but I did not know how to narrate. And at the time, I thought they were two separate things when all in all, they were the same. So what I mean by self-taught is I had no one to teach me what proper microphone to use, what program to record in, what type of computer to have or equipment. So I started watching a bunch of tech videos on, well, basically people reviewing microphones, reviewing computers, reviewing just different equipment on how to record, whether that be a musician or voiceover artist, whatever have you. So I decided, cool, I gained the knowledge and I ran to my local Best Buy, which is a electronics store here where I live. And I picked up a microphone. I bought myself a computer, came home, plugged it all in. And I then researched what a recording program was. And I finally learned about Audacity, which is an open source software, also known as a DAW, Digital Audio Workspace. And I fiddled with it, got my microphone plugged in, and started recording myself. And as far as editing goes, it was just me. It was just trial and error. And I watched some how-to videos on how to edit in Audacity. And finally, I got it all figured out. And then I switched over how to upload to YouTube. And here we are today.
I was wondering, why Phoenix Fire? How did you come up with that name?
I have always been obsessed with the mythological creature known as the Phoenix. There is something so fascinating about a creature that is so powerful in its mythology. A lot of people looked up to this bird because it was powerful. It had tears of healing power, and it only knows good people and punishes the bad, in a sense. And throughout its life, its powerful life, by the end of it, as it gets weak, it dies. And as most people know about the Phoenix, it's reborn from the ashes. In my personal life, I've had ups and downs. So I told myself I relate to this mythological creature so much because during my highs, I was on fire, pun intended. And during my lows, I would die off. And it was at that time, no matter if I was depressed or anything going on in my life that was going bad, I told myself, pick yourself up and start again. And I would. And I would always come back bigger, better, and stronger, just like the Phoenix does. And I'm fascinated with fire. Absolutely love it. And I thought to myself, I can't call myself a Phoenix because, you know, that name is just so well known. So I thought, Phoenix Fire. And I put the two together and it just flowed. And I love it so much.
That's awesome. Speaking of the story that you told about the Phoenix dying and rising back again from the ashes, you also have a second channel on YouTube called Back to Ashes. You want to talk about that a little bit as well and how that got started and why you decided to branch off and create a second channel?
Oh, oddly enough, to the audience here, Interscare does sleep stories and his wife is a huge supporter. I don't know how Interscare Wifey heard of my Phoenix Fire narrations channel, but as soon as she did it, she was like, oh man, I think your voice might be good for sleep stories. And then Interscare was like, dude, you really need to try it. So I was like, okay, I have a big, boisterous voice. I don't know how this is going to work out. So I looked up some stories, and my very first one, I tried it and I just softened my voice a little bit and ran it by Interscare and Interscare Wifey. And they said, yes, absolutely. Yes, this is going to work. Dude, just give it a go. Let's just see how it goes. And I uploaded it. Audience loved it. Interscare and Interscare Wifey, helped me market myself as a sleep narrator. And ever since then, it took off. As far as the title of the channel goes, Back to Ashes, the way I like to see it is at the end of a phoenix's life, it dies and it rises a bigger, stronger entity. So in my mind, Back to Ashes, we all have to go to sleep. If you stay up all night or if you go for 2-3 days, you run out of energy. In my mind, you're dead in a sense. So I said, the Phoenix bursts into flames and becomes ashes. So to me, going to bed is almost like returning to the ashes. Get some rest. When you wake up the next day, as long as you're in a good mindset, you will be a bigger, stronger, better person.
That's absolutely brilliant. I would love to hear about your future aspirations and goals for both of your channels, if you don't mind. Let's just say over the next 6 months, where do you see yourself?
Be honest, I take everything day by day, but if I really put an outlook to it, the Phoenix Fire Narrations channel, I would love for it to continue to climb as it has so much. It just reached its year and a month now. And since I started the channel, and it was very slow to start, but it took off as soon as everyone could hear the things that I can do with my voice and how creepy I can become and the characters that I can play. So in 6 months, I would really love for that, for my main channel to be huge in a sense where I can be monetized and people will hear the name Phoenix Fire and think, yeah, that dude with that really creepy voice, we really love to go listen to his horror stories. As far as the sleep channel goes, I personally have always felt that it's my calling in life to help people, no matter what that may be. Mm-hmm. So I do know that sleep channels are very therapeutic for people.
Yes.
So if I can help put myself out there and help people fall asleep, to me, I'm helping people, whether I know them or not. Just a few of the subscribers on the channel already have commented on the stories and told me that they have issues or they're going through life or they have medical conditions. And just by listening to my sleep stories alone helps them take their mind off of their struggles and lets them get out of their own world and enjoy a peaceful night's sleep to the stories that I record. And that touches me. So in 6 months, I hope it can reach a broader audience and continue to help people.
Man, that is awesome.
I've had a few Native Americans from my Indian tribe actually hear your stories, and they call you good medicine. And that's an honor. It's an honor.
Yes, it is. Oh, that's touching, actually. That's, wow.
Yeah, that
I've never heard that.
That's awesome. That's one thing that I love about doing sleep narrations on YouTube is getting the comments, you know, from people saying how much, you know, we help them and how much they're able to actually get a restful night's sleep because of their insomnia and stuff. So you are 100% correct. That's something very awesome that you're doing with that sleep channel. I know I listen to it every night to go to sleep. Me as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say, I just sat here and said, my, and I want to retract that statement because over on my main channel, I always say this to the audience, both channels are not mine. I'm just the guy behind the microphone. Both platforms belong to the audience.
I love that.
Absolutely.
And I listen to the audience. I interact with the audience and I built those channels for the audience. I just like telling the stories. The channels belong to them. So in the future, as long as the audience loves it, they're running the show. I'm reading the stories.
That's wonderful.
So let's say little Phoenix Fire, before he ever started his YouTube channel, knew everything that you know now. What would you do to start?
Well, the very first thing I would do to start is ask the authors for permission to read their stories. I didn't mention it before, but when I first got started, because I did not know what I was doing, I was just taking random stories off of Reddit or other websites and just reading them and then sending it to the author and saying, hey, I recorded this for you. I hope you like it. Boy, oh boy, did I get some backlash. And then I had some other receptive authors that said, oh, thank you. And then there was an author, a good dear friend of mine, Dark Little Voices. He and his wife, they have their own channel on YouTube, but Shade, that is his name, and then Decay is the wife. Shade writes, so I did one of their stories, and he said, oh, yeah. And he's the one that introduced me into the horror community. So going to the beginning, I would know what kind of microphone to use, which authors I can contact, and of course, ask the permissions to use it.
So to get into specifics, just for people who might want to start a narration channel, what microphone would you recommend to someone who might want to start a narration channel but doesn't have a big budget for like an SM7B or something popular like that? And where would you recommend that they go to find narrations? Or stories to narrate, sorry.
This is a... I think this would be a great time for me to introduce a project that a dear friend of mine and I are working on. And the channel is already up. There's no content uploaded just yet. It is still under construction. But a dear friend of mine, the Grim Reaper's Nightmare, who lives in New Zealand. Have no idea how we met. I think it was somewhere on Twitter, and he's just like the long lost brother I never had. He is a fantastic writer. He's an artist and blows my mind what he can do with his own narrations. He and I just got along like peas in a pod. And first we were collabing with each other and narrating. And then we thought, hey, why don't we start a joint channel? I can teach people how to narrate, and Grim can teach people how to start reaching out and gaining friends and doing collabs and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, we've got all these huge ideas for our channel, and that one is called The Blazing Sickle. With that being said, to answer your question, I have a segment that will be uploaded onto The Blazing Sickle called How to Become a Narrator. It is 10 videos, so it's broken down into 10 parts, and it starts you from the very start where you have absolutely nothing, have no idea what you're doing, and by the time you finish it, you will have the stories, equipment, and everything to get you started narrating and onto YouTube. And in one of those segments, I talk about equipment. I know when I first got started, I had no idea that microphones came in all different kinds.
Absolutely.
I didn't know what a dynamic, I didn't know what a ribbon mic or whatever. There's thousands of microphones out there. So I know when I first got started, I used a first, let's see, what was my very first microphone? It was a Blue Yeti. And with that being said, I bought it. And then you get into more complicated things like what type of setting to have it on and gain and all of that jazz. So for anyone starting, it's so much to explain. I would highly recommend, for a budget-friendly starter mic, I wouldn't recommend a Blue Yeti for recording just because it's so sensitive, and not a lot of people, when they record, know about sound treatment and that you're supposed to record in a quiet environment. That is such a sensitive microphone. I would highly recommend something like the Samson Q2U. It runs, depending on if it's on sale, somewhere in between $40 to $60. I also don't like to throw pricing out there just because, you know, it ranges, you know,
different currencies and things.
And then as far as stories go, there's different microphones, but it will be in that segment on The Blazing Sickle. And I throw out actually quite a few, but for the time being, for everyone listening, Samson Q2U, you can look it up, try it out. It is a versatile microphone. It is a USB and an XLR microphone. And for anyone that doesn't know what that means, that will be in that segment on The Blazing Sickle. As far as where I get my narrations from, or my stories from, excuse me, I use websites like creepypasta.com or creepypasta wiki or reddit.com. But with every single story that I discover and that I find, it is very important for everyone to know. You can find stories all day long. You may want to narrate them all day long, but the very first thing that you have to do is make sure that you have that author's permission to record their stories.
Absolutely. I know that No Sleep, in particular, has a secondary Reddit called No Sleep OOC or No Sleep Out of Character, where authors will actually go on there and be like, hey, this guy read my story without permission. Everyone go mass copyright strike him or mass report him, and YouTube channels will be absolutely taken down just because they read one story without permission. So if you're a narrator out there, if you're wanting to start a narration channel, ask permission before you read those stories. 100% what Phoenix Fire said.
I will say too, and even if you do upload it, and even if it's not the author that contacts you, trust and believe that author has an audience, and that audience will find you.
Yeah.
And all it takes is one, maybe two reports to YouTube. They will pull that story down, if not your entire channel. So it is very imperative that you ask permission. Copywriting and stealing people's content is not okay. So please protect yourself and make sure you have permission. With that being said, there's also stories on Reddit, it will say right below the title of the story, free to narrate. Even if it does say that, still cover your butt and ask the author if it's okay.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to add in there, there are some places like the Creepypasta Wiki where everything posted there is Creative Commons. If it does say that it's posted under Creative Commons, you don't have to ask permission. But what you do have to do is credit the author. So if it's under Creative Commons, that's what you got to do for that. Enter Scare Wifey.
I don't have any more comments on that subject necessarily, but I was wondering if you could go back into history a bit and learn about your educational background and how this has helped you today.
So growing up in school, I always love listening to people's backgrounds, but when I told my own, everyone's like, ew, gosh, what's wrong with you? I hated science. I hated math. I hated every subject except for English. I don't know what resonated with me when I first took English classes. I think I started falling in love with it, I think, in middle school, and then beat it up a bit. I got into college and boom, I graduated with my associates in English and then finally pursued it to a bachelor's degree. So I love English. I love writing. I love reading. And how I tie that into the narration world is I am so fascinated with how a story flows that if I read a story and it's not good, I will not narrate it. And it's not because the author did a bad job. It's just I have such bad OCD when it comes to the English language. So if it's a really good story, I'm going to narrate it and put 150% into that story. There are quite a few authors I'm in contact with that I cannot brag about enough, and they are featured on the Phoenix Fire Narrations channel a lot. So, yeah, that's pretty much my history growing up. I love English, so I tie it into my narration.
So with you being like really into English in school, if you could say one thing to a writer, what would you say? Because we are talking to people who want to write, people who want to narrate, anybody who wants to create something in the horror community, this podcast is for them. So as a narrator, if you could tell writers one thing, what would it be?
I'll take this moment and maybe mention a couple of things, and it's only constructive criticism. Mm-hmm. That's the business that we're in, absolutely, even as narrators. When we as narrators sit down to read an author's work, when we go to record, it does help that the author takes the time, even though they wrote it, to double check their work to make sure that the story flows, no words are missing. Punctuation, you know, that's just me being picky, but just make sure it's punctuated enough, because as a narrator, you know, when there's a big run-on sentence, we have to read that as it's shown on paper. And we're human, so, you know, of course we need to breathe. So we need to know when, how to read that properly. And then number two, especially on certain sites that I've read, whenever you go to post your work, please make sure that you're putting spaces in between where your paragraphs are, because if it's all jumbled together, it's going to be hard to read. So for anyone starting out writing, make sure you do that. And then two, for the writers out there, whenever you write a horror story, make sure that you give it your heart and soul, because I guarantee you the narrator that's going to read your work is going to put their heart and soul into reading your work. So not only will people be reading your work, there's a narrator that's going to breathe life into it, which is going to give you a whole different audience.
And speaking of putting your heart and your soul into narrations and the narrator putting their heart and soul into a narration, Inner Scare Wifey and I have went through your channel. I've probably watched every video that you've uploaded. You and I have been friends for a long time. But there's one in particular that keeps standing out to us, and that is a video called the trees. And for those of you watching on Spotify right now, you're able to see the visuals. But anyone listening on any other platform, whether that be Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen to podcasts, you'll be able to hear the narration. We're going to go ahead and play that narration for you right now.
Put your headphones in, close your eyes, take these moments to just immerse yourself completely and feel what this is meant to make you feel.
Absolutely. So, without further ado, the trees.
This story is entitled The Trees, written by Crackpipe Vendor. I awoke violently once again. The whispering which had taunted me constantly was becoming louder and louder, almost too loud to bear. I sat up and grabbed my rifle, loading it through the top, pulling the bolt, and aiming it at the door. Every single night, since building my cabin deep in the Appalachian woods, something has haunted me, following me, driving me insane. I moved into these woods after my discharge from the army to try to escape the constant horrors that had plagued me since the ambush. But it seems that my demons are chasing me and won't relent until they've gotten what they wanted. Whatever that may be. I tense my finger on the trigger of my rifle. Whatever is chasing me doesn't just want me dead. It wants me suffering. Both I and it know that it is more than capable of ending my life, but I haven't the slightest clue why it's waiting so long to put me out of my misery. It wasn't long after my injury in Vietnam that it first appeared. I initially thought I was just experiencing PTSD, or shock, as any person exploded by an RPG would. The doctors could explain away as to what I was seeing and experiencing was just a result of the attack on my psyche. When I told the doctors about the whispers, they explained to me that my brains just rattled, and that it would subside before long. They told me the creature outside my window was an effect of losing my eye, and that my brain was attempting to fill in the gaps. I should never have believed them. I blindly searched the floor next to my cot for my prosthetic leg. Dawn had broken and I was safe, at least safer than I was before the sun had appeared. The whispers of the trees had returned back to a tolerable murmur. However, they never stopped. I attached the peg carved out of red spruce to the stump just beyond my knee and departed my cabin to carry out my daily dues. During the days, I would hunt small animals and gather berries for food and search for firewood. Most of these trips would go without much incident, aside from the odd rustle among the leaves or distant scream from the forest. On today's hunt, things were different. I was no more than 50 feet into the wood before my skin began to crawl and the trees began to whisper again, whispering like last night. I turned around on my heels and began to sprint back to my cabin. I knew that my time was coming soon, but I sought to prolong the inevitable. As I tore through the relenting forest, the whispering of the trees turned into yelling, then into deafening screams. No matter how hard I looked or how fast I ran, the woods continued. I knew how far I was. I knew which direction my cabin was. I had been into this section of the woods every single day. Something was wrong. I had been moved miles away from where I began. I had no chance. It had caught up to me. The only thing I could do at this point was pray that my death would involve minimal suffering. I dropped to my knees and I began sobbing as the trees fell silent and I heard the sound of massive amounts of earth and lumber moving. And then, as the sound got nearer and nearer, it stopped. As I held my head in my hands, sobbing, I heard a solitary whisper, frail and like sandpaper against my ears.
Look to me.
It beckoned. I was trembling with fear. The creature that had been pursuing me since the ambush was here. I lifted my head from my hands and looked up to meet it. In front of me was a gargantuan spruce tree, hundreds of feet high. In the trunk of this tree were the bodies of hundreds of men, whispering, screaming, begging. The bodies of these men, half merged with the trees, were all faces I vaguely recognized. Trapped within this tree was the soul of every person I had killed in the war. The tree's voice, rough like its bark, called again.
Look upon me. Look upon the souls you've damned.
I continued to weep as I watched the tortured souls of the Vietnamese army grab at me and beg me for mercy.
You were responsible for the loss of these men. Freedom fighters for their homeland.
The tree's voice tore against my ears.
The gunshots, explosions, and fires that led to the death of these people all originated from you. You are responsible. You did this. You are the monster, not I.
The voice of the tree had become too much to bear. The pain of what it had told me became too much to deal with. I continued to sob as I pressed the barrel of my rifle to the roof of my mouth. Perhaps after this, their souls may rest.
Wow, that story and that narration really hits. Like, whenever you're first listening to it and you hear those whispers between the trees, whenever I heard that for the first time, I literally got chills all over my body. Phoenix, can you tell aspiring narrators out there what it takes to make something like this?
Well, the very first thing I would like to say, the name of the author who wrote that is named Crack Pipe Vendor. And when I first read the story, it resonated with me because it's a story about how your past catches up to you. And I didn't just read it as a story. I read it as a wake-up call. With that being said, as when I got done with it, I literally sat there. And I thought, and I thought, and I read it again. And by the time I got to the end of it, I was practically in tears. And I thought to myself, this is one powerful story. I have to narrate this. So I reached out, and of course, he said yes. He was over the moon that someone was so passionate about wanting to read his work. So I recorded it. And at first, I was just doing a regular narration. I said, this is not going to do. So I re-recorded it and really put myself in that character's shoes and put my whole soul into that narration. For people getting into narrating, it's easy to sit behind a microphone and just read the words in a monotone voice, just read it into the microphone and be done with it. That will not do, period. Whenever you're sitting down to narrate, you really, really need to give the correct inflections, which means how your voice goes up and down. You really need to get into character to capture what that author has written on that paper. And when I recorded the story, I really wanted to give it, I don't know how to put it into words. I really wanted to give it life, not just by narrating it, but I also wanted to put SFX. And for those that don't know what that means sound effects. You'll hear that term used a lot in this industry. I wanted to give it SFX so you would be even more immersed in the story. So me, myself, I'm an audiophile, which means I'm very picky over how things sound. I was playing around with some different sound effects I found, and I just said, that's not going to do. So I re-listened to the narration, and I decided to record the sound effects myself, all the whispering that you hear and all of the deep breathing and things of that nature in the story. That is me. That is all me recording that. The only sound effects, of course, I couldn't record is shooting a gun or running through dry leaves. And when I did that, it was so powerful that I had to sit back and realize what I had just done. I had created in my mind what I thought to be a masterpiece. And when I turned it over to the author, he was practically in tears. So to beginner narrators out there, the more life that you can breathe into a story, the better your audience will connect with that story and the more it will jump out at you and it will really hit people in the feels when you're reading.
Yeah, I agree, man. The more that people can put their own emotion and the more that people can put their own feelings that they had when they read a story into their narration, the more that it's really going to come out in the story and the more that the viewers of that video or that narration are going to really be able to immerse themselves in the story.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm going to say this. I almost want to compare it to like you're a salesman, you're selling a product. And when you're trying to sell something, you really need to be very passionate about what you're selling or you're not going to make that sale.
Absolutely.
However, narrations are not products. Mm-hmm. Narration should be something you're passionate about. Yes, listening to someone read a story, even an audiobook, it may sound fun, but trust and believe that person behind that microphone has sat and read and recorded and edited and just put themselves through hell and back to make sure that their narration sound their best. So for anyone getting started, sure, you know, play around a little bit, get to finding yourself and what you want to do. But when you really start getting serious and really want people to like your narrations, it's best that you put 150% into those narrations.
Absolutely.
That was actually really good advice that I needed even right now. So I often wonder if I should go back and do this, or if I should go back and change it, or if people really care, or they notice, but I think they do.
And you know what? In the beginning, even still, I can go back, I'll admit, on Phoenix Fire Narrations, I go back to my very first, you know, maybe 10 videos, and it makes me cringe listening to it because I was such a baby back then, and I didn't know, I was still learning how to adjust volumes and how to read and, you know, all of that jazz, but it's a growing process.
Absolutely.
So when you first get started, make those mistakes. It's absolutely fine, but just know when it's time to, you know, hunker down and get really serious. Once you find your footing, and you know what you're doing. Really pour your soul into your narrations, and your audience will take it from there.
That's excellent. I was wondering, do you have any frustrations in the narration community or anywhere in general?
I'll first start with myself. The biggest frustration with myself is that my OCD gets in my way.
Mm-hmm.
So as I just, you know, said, I'll make a recording and then I'll sit for 2 or 3 days going, God, I should have done this. Just like you said, Inner Scare Wife, I should have done this. I should have done that, blah, 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 blah. But then you just got to move past it and just try to be better next time. But there's also times that you got to sit down and record that you forget about those mistakes and you continue to make them. But, you know, it's an ongoing battle. As far as the audience goes that I'm reading to, it's not necessarily a frustration. At first it does, but then you become so numb to it because it's just it's part of the deal. Whenever you get trolls in your comment section that want to leave hateful comments, and some can be just goofy and some can be extremely brutal, you just have to take the hit on the chin and keep pushing, ignore those people. And also, in a sense, tell yourself, you know, that may be the nastiest thing someone has said to me, but it also helps me. And with that, I mean, one, they clicked on your video, so they gave you a view on YouTube.
Yes.
And two, they're engaging with your content on YouTube, which pushes it into the suggested list for someone else to watch. The more people engage with your video, it pushes it out there for people to see. So with that being said, let the trolls be trolls. Focus only on the positive things, because when you find your footing, your audience that you're narrating to, they're going to pour out so much love to you. It's just going to, it's a feeling I can't explain. It's cloud nine. As far as the community goes with the narration community, you will find some of the best people in the world that you did not know ever existed. They may be from your area, a different country, it doesn't matter. And they will become like family to you. Mm-hmm. Now, some of the frustrating parts are when you go to do, say, collabs with people, and you will get a lot of promises that, yeah, I'll get that done for you, I'll get those lines over to you. And if you're picky like me, or Inner Scare, I know, because we've been friends for a while, and you want to get content put out, and there's the narrator that you're waiting on, and they're taking forever to get those lines to you. It's so frustrating. And in a sense, you're just like, you know what, forget it, I'll get someone else. But you also need to pull yourself back and realize, you know, people have jobs, they have lives, time zones, all that jazz goes into it. But in a sense, when a few days turns into a few weeks, that's when all that frustration comes in. And then too, of course, you know, even in the narration community, just anywhere, even in real life, you're going to find the people you get along with and the people that you don't. So for the newbies out there, as I like to say, newbies out there, you'll find your footing. You'll find who you get along with and who you don't. You know, we all have our different styles, and sometimes your personalities connect and sometimes they clash. And yes, it is frustrating, but it's part of the business.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of my best friends in the world right now, I actually met in the narration community, you being one of them, Grim, who we're going to have on an upcoming episode, being another one of them. I obviously call you guys my brothers in horror. Y'all are absolutely amazing. Yeah, some of the best people in the world I have met in the horror community. And in the narration community, to be exact. I want to go back to something that you said earlier about when you're new and when you're starting out, you know, make those mistakes. It's perfectly fine. Make those mistakes. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You're going to learn from it.
Yes.
In our first episode, Inner Scare Wifey and I gave a very comical story from when I started my channel about whenever I first started my second video. Obviously, I was doing sleep videos. My second video was 8 hours long.
Oh,
with,
wow.
With 1 hour of stories and 7 hours of rain, because I just wanted to make a video for Inner Scare Wifey. Well, that video ended up taking off, And people just lambasted me in the comments like, I can't believe you would do this. Why would you put just 7 hours of rain and 1 hour of narration? You totally lied to us here, et cetera, et cetera. Do you have any funny mistake stories that you made when you were first starting out?
Golly, I've got so many mistakes over the year 2022. I don't even know where to begin. I do know when I first started out, you know, there was some encouragement like, oh, that sounds awesome. Keep going. You'll get better. And that came from the audience and from the narration community. I'm a very animated character in real life anyway, when the mic is off. But when I sit in front of this microphone, when I first started reading, especially in dialogue, and this goes out to the newbies that are listening, when you're reading dialogue and different characters, I don't care if you're reading a story and you're just one character, or if you get the privilege of playing two, three, four, however many characters all in one story, you have to realize that your one narrator voice cannot also be the character's voice. I mean, you're going to sound like yourself, but you can't be reading a character's voice in the same tone that you're reading your narrations. So I remember in the beginning, there were a few stories and I forgot to turn the character on. So it was funny to me because I was like, oh yeah, this video is going to do great. Look at all these people watching. And then some of the feedback was like, you know, you sound just like you're reading.
That's hilarious. So,
are your characters, do they not have personalities? I was like, oh crap, I forgot to turn the character on. So yeah, that always makes me laugh every single time. Or my other funny part is I struggled so much on how to introduce the story and how to end it. I had no idea. You know, I'd be like, hi guys, you know, just the old boring YouTube stuff. Hi guy, you know, so I finally found my footing and did that. But I go back and listen to my old videos and I'm just like, golly, I wished I hadn't done that. But it makes me laugh every single time.
Yeah. And would you say that trial and error is probably just the best way for a narrator to find their footing?
I will say this, especially to the newbies, because I to this day get this question is, oh, Phoenix, man, your videos are awesome. How can I sound like you? How can I do what you do? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hey, look, you are incredible just the way you are. You're not going to sound like me. And that's just the, you know, honest truth. You're not going to sound like another narrator. You're going to be you. So yes, trial and error is going to make you the narrator that you want to become. You're going to record a story. You're not going to like it. Your next story you narrate, you're going to try something different. You might like it. You'll stick with that for a while. You might get bored with it. You'll change it up. So you just got to kind of go through, you know, those ups and downs until you just find just that middle line that you kind of want to stick with. Now, with that being said, through trial and error, once you do find your footing and you're good for a while, it's always good to switch things up. I don't care if you've done this for a day, a week. I don't care if you've done it for 10 years. Switch things up a little bit. Keep your audience engaged. Amen. And as you grow older, your voice gets older, your style gets, or I mean, you get into different things. So always switch things up. You know, one, it might be frustrating, but two, think of it as fun and you won't have any issues.
Absolutely.
One thing that I have to ask is, what is something that you wished I had asked you during this interview? A question that I forgot to ask.
No, there's really nothing, because you've nailed everything on the head. The one thing that I love and respect the most is that you asked me how I got into this, because in my opinion, it's going to help someone else.
Absolutely. You know, that's the point of this.
Other people, yeah. Hearing mm-hmm. other people's stories. Because not everyone's going to know what they're doing. Maybe off the top of my head, how did I find my narrator voice? Maybe, I guess that's a question. So, yeah, I think that's the only thing I can really dig out there.
Well, how did you find your narrator voice?
Well, first and foremost, to all you newbies, this one's for you. When you get behind a microphone and record, you will absolutely hate the sound of your voice when you are listening back to it as you're editing your project before you upload it. You will
absolutely
hate it. Oh, you hear yourself naturally when you speak, but I'm here to tell you, on a microphone, you still sound like yourself, but you sound different. It'll make sense once you sit down and listen to yourself. So I sat down when I first started narrating, and I was using my regular speaking voice. I can't stand the way I sound in my normal voice. Well, I've got different inflections in my voice where I can't necessarily go high, but I can get really low with my voice. And I can get into some really creepy territory that really creeps people out. And in real life, when I do that, I see that reaction on people's face. So I took, you know, I said to myself, let me try that with my narrations. So one day I sat down and I took it down a couple of octaves and I went, holy crap, that's it. That's it. I want to use the deep, really scary voice. And I've stuck with it. And it's just the formula that works for me. Now with the sleep videos, I'll either go really soft. And then finally I got told, don't do soft, just speak like you, you know, do regularly. It's going to be perfect. And that formula works too. So we go back to trial and error. Maybe your speaking voice will work. Maybe a different type of tone in your voice will work. You'll figure it out on your own. No one can really tell you how to sound.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. And another thing, just to add to that, editing. Editing can help you like the sound of your voice a lot better as well. So if you get into a good DAW, like Phoenix Fire mentioned, Audacity, play around with that editing. You know, don't just leave it the way that it's recorded. Play around with it and see what you like.
By all means, going off of what InnerScare just said, when you edit, as we narrate, some people like it, some people don't. We all have our ways. There's no right or wrong way. Breathing. There are techniques to how you read. By all means, you're a human, you're recording something. Please take a breath. But some people like it, some people don't. As you're editing, please remember our mouths make noises that we can't hear in everyday talking and interacting with people. But when you put on those headphones and you're recording, you're going to hear nasty sounds coming out of your mouth. Yeah. Your mouth is going to click. You're going to hear the nasty, slimy sounds. You also want to make sure to take those parts out. It's okay if you leave in breaths or whatever, but just make sure that when you're editing and you're listening to your voice and whatnot, you also pay attention to that as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And for anyone who wants to learn how to become a narrator, check out the Blazing Sickle, like Phoenix mentioned earlier. They've got, or they will have, some excellent, excellent material coming out for you guys. Phoenix, where can people find you?
First and foremost, if anyone would like to interact with me, you can find me on Twitter under Phoenix Fire, of course. And then if you would like to discover the narrations that I do, my big baby, as I call it, Phoenix Fire Narrations, you can find me at youtube.com/@PhoenixFire_YT. And then for my youngest baby, well, not youngest, but my middle child, the sleep narration channel, you can find that at youtube.com/@BackToAshes_YT. And then for my youngest baby, you can find that at youtube.com/TheBlazingSickle.
All right. And I'm InnerScare. You can follow me on Twitter @InnerScareSleep. And you can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/InnerScareSleep. You can follow me on Instagram @InnerScare. Okay. You can also follow InnerScare Wifey on Twitter @InnerScareWifey. And you can go to her YouTube channel, listen to her narrations at youtube.com/@InterScareWifey. This has been InnerScare.
InnerScare Wifey.
And I've been Phoenix Fire.
And thank you guys so much for joining us for this episode of InterScare Spook School, teaching you how to create horror one step at a time in every niche possible. Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure to follow our guest on all of his social medias. Check out his YouTube channel. That Trees narration alone should show you the quality that this guy has in his work. Go check him out. He is absolutely amazing. Great guy, great narrator. Thank you so much for joining us, Phoenix.
Thank you so much for having me.
Not a problem at all. And thank you everyone for watching. And until next time, have a great fright and keep creating horror.